Michael, Tom and Al Neri are in a lounge as Connie comes in with Merle.
I'll see my sister alone.
It concerns me, too. Is it okay if I stay?
How are you, honey? You met Merle. He was with me in Vegas.
I saw him with him.
Could I have a drink or something?
Michael crushes out a cigarette.
Okay, boy.
Al, would you please get him a drink?
Al does so, grudgingly.
We're going to Europe next week. I'd like to book a passage on the Queen.
So what do you come to me for? Why don't you go to a travel agent?
We're getting married first.
Merle hands a cigarette to Connie, and Michael looks at him frostily. He turns back to the vampish Connie, who lights her cigarette.
The ink on your divorce isn't dry yet, and you're getting married?
Michael nods, holding back his anger.
You see your children on weekends? You know your oldest boy, Victor, was picked up in Reno for some petty theft you don't even know about?
Michael!
You fly around the world with men who don't care for you and use you like a whore?
You're not my father!
Then what do you come to me for?
Because I need money.
Michael stares at her, then glances across at the floppy-haired Merle, who shifts uncomfortably. Michael casually saunters to the side of Connie's chair.
Connie.
Michael holds his hand under Connie's chin. She resists a little as he turns her head to face him.
I want to be reasonable with you. Now, why don't you stay here with us, with the family? You can live here on the estate with your kids. You won't be deprived of anything. You can have everything you want.
Michael gazes down at Connie, who stares back up at him.
I don't know this Merle. I don't know what he does. I don't know what he lives on. And why don't you tell him marriage is out of the question and you don't want to see him anymore? He'll understand, believe me.
Connie takes a drag of her cigarette and exhales through her nose. She reaches out her bejeweled hand to Merle, and he holds it.
Connie.
Michael stares at Connie.
If you don't listen to me, marry this man.
Merle and Connie keep hold of each other's hand.
You'll disappoint me.
Connie glances down, then stares unflinchingly at Michael. Night has fallen, and large illuminated arches stand at either side of the bandstand. Some guests are gathered around a bonfire as a man drops a log onto it, then sits back while another man strums a guitar. People walk around the circular pool while the band plays. The Corleone family and their friends sit at a table underneath one of the illuminated arches. They are eating a meal, and Mama Corleone raises her glass to propose a toast.
Camille!
Centan!
What's centan?
Fredo.
Centan. It means 100 years.
It means we should all live happily for 100 years, the family. It'd be true if my father were alive.
Connie and Michael exchange frosty glares.
Merle, you've met my sister-in-law, Deanna. Fredo's wife, a pleasure.
How do you do?
Mama Corleone talks to Tom in Italian.
Mama.
Frankie looks drunk as he chuckles and talks across the table to Michael. He says, "With all respect, I didn't come here to eat dinner." Michael replies, "I know, I know." Frankie raises his glass and knocks another glass over. Tom, Mama Corleone and Kay look embarrassed. Later, Deanna, Fredo's blonde-haired trophy wife, is dancing with another guy. She grins and nuzzles her lips against his cheek, while the mustachioed Fredo watches sternly from the edge of the dance floor. Deanna slips drunkenly onto her backside, and Michael whispers something into the burly Rocco's ear. Rocco walks off, and Fredo pulls Deanna off the dance floor.
Dancing is one thing, you're falling all over the floor.
Oh, I know what's the matter with you. It was just because he's a real man.
I swear to God, Deanna, I'm going to belt you right in the cheek.
Oh, you couldn't belt your mama. You
know, Rocco walks up to Fredo.
Michael says that if you can't take care of this, I have to. I think you better.
Never marry a wife. They treat their wives like shit. I didn't mean to say wife.
Rocco grabs Deanna around the waist and carries her off the dance floor. Fredo looks ashamed as he sits down beside Michael.
I can't control her, Mikey.
You're my brother, Fredo. You don't have to apologize to me.
Michael's in the lounge with Frankie. Also there are Al, Tom, and Chichi.
Clemenza promised the Rosato brothers 3 territories in the Bronx after he died. You took over, and you didn't give it to them.
I welched?
You welched.
Yeah, Clemenza promised them Ugatas. Muscula. Clemenza promised them nothing. He hated those son of a bitches more than I do.
Frankie, they feel cheated.
Michael, are you sitting high up in the Sierra Mountains and you're drinking, what's he drinking,
Chief? Champagne.
Champagne cocktails. And you're passing judgment on how I run my family.
Michael stares at Frankie through steely eyes and says, "Your family's still called Corleone, and you'll run it like a Corleone." Frankie says, "My family doesn't eat here, doesn't eat in Las Vegas, and doesn't eat in Miami, with Hyman Roth." Michael stands, walks up to Frankie, and puts a hand on his shoulder.
"You're a good old man. I like you. And you were loyal to my father for years.
It was out of us to take in hostages. And Mike, they spit right in my face. All because they're backed up by that Jew in Miami.
I know. That's why I don't want him touched.
You don't want him touched?
No. I want you to be fair with him.
You want me to be fair with Tom? How can you be fair to animals? Tom, for Christ's sakes. Listen, they recruit specs. They recruit niggas. You know, they do violence in their grandmother's neighborhoods. And I tell you, everything with them is whores. Whores! And I'll pop out in there. Jump! Go! And they leave the gambling to last. Now, I want to earn my family without you on my back. And I want those Rosado brothers dead.
No.
Mort.
Frankie points his finger at Michael, and Michael stares back at him coldly.
Now, I have business that's important with Hyman Roth. I don't want it disturbed.
And you give your loyalty to a Jew before your own blood.
Michael looks away wearily.
Come on, Frankie. You know my father did business with Hyman Roth. He respected him.
Your father did business with Hyman Roth. Your father respected Hyman Roth. But your father never trusted Hyman Roth or his Sicilian messenger boy, Johnny Ola.
Frankie looks venomous and says, "You'll have to excuse me. I'm tired and I'm a little drunk." He looks round defiantly.
And I want everybody here to know there's not going to be no trouble for me. Don Corleone.
Frankie gives a little bow to Michael and says, "Chichi, the door." The tall, dark-haired Chichi goes to the door and Frankie follows him. Al leans his head on the bar.
"You want him to leave now?"
Michael crushes out a cigarette.
"Let him go back to New York. I've already made my plans. The old man had too much wine."
Michael drinks from a tall glass and checks his watch.
"It's late."
Outside, under the night sky, party guests are dancing cheek to cheek on the dance floor. Michael and Kaya are among them. Michael glances down at Kay's stomach and smiles at her.
"How's the baby?"
"Sleeping inside me."
"Does it feel like a boy?"
Yes, it does, Michael."
Michael holds his cheek against hers.
"Kay?"
"Hmm?"
"I'm sorry about all the people today. Bad timing. It couldn't be helped, though."
"It made me think of what you once told me."
She looks at him.
"In 5 years, the Corleone family will be completely legitimate. That was 7 years ago."
They gaze into each other's eyes.
"I know. I'm trying, though."
Michael nuzzles the side of Kay's face, and they dance on. The floor is full of couples who dance close to each other in the night air. A motorboat chugs along the placid lake, the lit-up shoreline still heaving with party guests. Michael, still wearing his silver-grey suit and thin black tie from the party, walks into his bedroom and closes the door behind him. He takes off his jacket and walks up to the double bed, where Kay lies sleeping. The shadowy room is lit by a bedside lamp, and Michael loosens his tie as he reaches down to a child's drawing, which has been placed on his pillow. The drawing is of a black chauffeur-driven limousine with a man sitting in the back. An arrow points to the man, and the word "Dad" is written above him. Above the drawing is written, "Do you like it?" "Yes," "No," and two tick boxes. Kay wakes up and Michael strokes her cheek.
"Did you see this?"
Michael looks proudly down at the drawing and Kay smiles sleepily. Michael turns and walks over to a dressing table by the window. Kay remains in bed.
"Michael, why are the drapes open?"
Michael glances back at her, then looks at the window. He suddenly drops to the floor. Gunfire hammers through the window and Michael crawls across the floor. Bullets smack into a mirror, in which Michael's reflected, and Kay rolls out of bed as bullet holes appear in the bedside lampshade. Michael takes cover behind the bed, and the gunfire subsides. The room is hazy with gun smoke as Michael looks round for Kay.
Kay, you're all right. We're here.
Kay shakes her head and Michael hugs her.
It's over.
Outside, guys carrying guns shut the gates of the Corleone estate as a car pulls up outside. Powerful spotlights blaze into life as a man flicks switches in a control room. Rocco and another guy run past the house, and Michael comes out to meet Rocco.
They're still on the property.
Please, Michael, please stay inside.
Keep them alive.
We'll try.
Rocco! Alive!
Michael goes in.
Stay by the door.
Rocco runs off as more men charge around the estate. Rocco marshals a couple of the men as guard dogs are released from wire pens. Rotating spotlights scan the grounds of the estate as more men with torches stalk around among a patch of thin trees. Other armed men have converged outside Michael's shattered bedroom window.